Now, I don't know if you've heard the news yet, but it's official. We officially have the best scaffolding in all of Boston. At least according to the Boston Courant, we do. As they put it, if there were awards for scaffolding, Old South Church would take top honors. Now, scaffolding may seem like an unusual minor detail for a newspaper to take note of, but I think scaffolding says everything about a church's beliefs. And I'll tell you why. Last week, I returned with 14 other Old Southers from a mission trip in New Orleans. We were working with a nonprofit called the St. Bernard Project. The St. Bernard Project helps restore houses for people without the financial, familial, or physical support needed to rebuild their own house in the St. Bernard Parish. The St. Bernard Parish being the only section of the New Orleans that was declared 100% unlivable after the floods. That means that every single house, 27,000 homes in the St. Bernard Parish, were drowned in up to 20 feet of flood water for a total of 4 weeks. That's water as high as the bottom of the balconies on either side here, about. And even after 6 years, there are still roughly 33,000 people without homes. 33,000 people without homes just in the St. Bernard Parish. With this in mind, the 15 of us did what we could to put in a full, hard week of work on one family's house. After a week of sweating bullets, after a week of mentally and physically demanding construction, after a week of being so far away from our apartments and houses here in Boston, I cannot imagine returning to a better church home. I love that when I return from a week of restoring a house, I come back to the scaffolding of this sanctuary. It is so fitting that as we go out into the world to refurbish houses, we are also working right here to refurbish our own house of worship. As the 15 members of the recent mission trip can tell you, I'm sure, you cannot change the world without changing yourself at the same time. Here's the story of how I was refurbished down in New Orleans. Now, I've always been what you might call a corner cutter. I always did just enough work in school to coast into a decent grade, but never anymore. If I could hand in my first draft as the final copy, that was good enough for me. And I am in no way, shape, or form a detail kind of guy, but when we arrived at our worksite in New Orleans, the home of the Jones family, we learned that we would be putting the final touches on their house. Now, this is a rare treat, my friends. I have been on numerous mission trips, and I have never, not once, had the joy of seeing a project completed. While an unprecedented joy for sure, this final touches type of work presented a particular challenge to my corner-cutting sensibility. So, after 2 full frustrating days of meticulous measuring and floor laying, 2 full days of lining each piece up just right, I was done. I was ready to move on to the next task, and all that was left was a tiny half-inch piece of floorboard. In that moment, there was nothing more important to me than finishing the floor and moving on to the next task, and nothing was going to slow me down, which is why I was overjoyed when somehow I managed to cut the last piece perfectly. And let me tell you, making a piece of flooring that small with all those impossibly straight diagonal lines and in that kind of New Orleans heat is not an easy task. But I was sure, I was certain it was the perfect size until, that is, I actually tried the piece. It was the right size, right? But I had cut the wrong end of flooring. You see, there are these little connector pieces at the end of each bit of flooring, and I had completely cut off the connector piece by mistake, and I knew this last piece wouldn't connect, and I knew it would look terrible, and I knew that it would probably mess up the entire floor in the Jones bedroom, but it would be so much quicker to just cut a few corners literally and apply a little brute force to squeeze this last piece in. Now, just as I took out my X-Acto knife, just as I was about to hack away at the floor, the angelic yet stern voice of our site supervisor, Bridget, shouted over my shoulder, "What do you think you're doing?" I stammered, I stuttered, I was caught red-handed. She asked rhetorically, "Would you cut that corner in your grandmother's house?" I looked at her with all earnestness and with an undying love for my grandmother, Sarah Woodger Davidson, and answered wholeheartedly, "Yes, most definitely, yes, I would definitely cut this corner if I were building my grandmother's house." Yeah, I got an amen over there. Now, at night, our team would take time to write our daily reflections in these worship books. And on the front cover of these worship books was a snippet from the biblical passage from Ezra that Marilyn just read. And every night, I thought about this passage from Ezra. "This work is being done diligently and prospers in their hands. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding this house. We are the servants of God, and we are rebuilding this house." Thought about the Israelites, the ancient Israelites who had spent several generations in living in exile at the time that Ezra was written, refugees in a strange land. When they finally got back to Jerusalem, they were ready to be settled in back home. But Jerusalem didn't quite feel like home to them, because there was one major piece missing: the temple. The physical representation of their belief, the stabilizing center of their wandering faith. The temple was completely destroyed. Without the temple, without their house of worship, they were lost and wandering in their own land. They had returned to Jerusalem, all right, but they were still waiting to return home. They started rebuilding. It was not an easy process. There were bureaucratic nightmares, 15-year-long delays, and angry neighbors trying to stop any rebuilding effort. But they never gave up. And they never took the easy way out. And that's why, in our scripture for today, even the angry neighbors trying to stop the Israelites had to write a report admiring their rebuilding efforts, much like the report that appeared in the Boston Courant about our own scaffolding. If there were awards for rebuilding ancient temples, the Israelites would take top honors. And here was the Jones family. Much like the Israelites, the Jones family had spent several years living in exile after the hurricane, refugees in a strange land. When they finally got back to New Orleans, they were ready to be settled in back home. But without that solid structure of a house, they were lost and wandering in their own land. They commuted from Mississippi for a time. Most nights they lived in a shack in their backyard, in the shadow of that empty, broken shell of a house. They had returned to New Orleans, all right. But they were still waiting to return home. That's when the St. Bernard Project entered the picture, and that's when the Old South missionaries made their pilgrimage down south, and that's where I was, with this X-Acto knife in my hand and the half-inch piece of flooring missing the connecting edge. In that moment, I imagine the Israelites coming back to an unfinished house of worship and not feeling like it was much of a home at all. I imagined how delicately they set each little stone in its proper place. As I imagined the Israelites coming home, I also imagined myself coming home to the unfinished work of the Old South Sanctuary. I imagined the consigli workers up on that treacherously high scaffolding. And I imagine them holding each piece of stained glass with as much tenderness and love as the Israelites used on their own temple. And as if it were all happening at the same time, I imagined the Jones family returning to their house with that unfinished piece of floorboard, that piece that I had left undone, imperfect, incomplete, not feeling like it was much of a home at all. Help bring them home. I heard that phrase over and over from our site supervisors like it was the refrain of their favorite song. Help bring them home. Not bring them back to a place that some volunteers half-heartedly threw together, but bring them home. And that was our mission. We could have easily thrown together a messy shack for the Jones family, but that wouldn't have been much of a home. That wouldn't have been a suitable sanctuary for these refugees. That wouldn't have been much of a mission at all. There's something about rebuilding, and there's something about the rebuilding work that's done on the house that reflects in the souls of the people doing the rebuilding and the souls of the people who live there. If there's one thing incomplete, if there is one thing left broken, like a half inch of floorboard, it would be like the Jones family themselves had not been fully healed from their 6 years living in exile. It would be like I had left myself broken and incomplete. We weren't there to just rebuild a house, but to rebuild a home, to rebuild a community, to heal the wounds of the people who live there, to build scaffolding around our own wounded faith. And that's how I came to understand what Bridget meant when she asked me if I would cut the same corners in my grandmother's house. She meant to say to me, Jack Davidson, you better treat every centimeter of this house with the same love, respect, and care that you would demand of the construction workers restoring Old South Church. So I took my X-Acto knife, and I put it down. And I took out my measuring tape, and I did it all over again. And as I drew those impossibly straight diagonal lines, and as I turned on that power saw in the blazing sun, a new calm settled in my heart. The old anxiety had left me. The hurried rush had left me. As I snapped that half inch of flooring into its proper place, I heard these words, the words of Ezra echoing in my head. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding this house. And that's what mission trips are all about. That's what scaffolding is all about. It's not a temporary nuisance. It's a theological reminder. It's a reminder that along with God, we are always under construction. It's a reminder that beautiful sanctuaries and beautiful homes and beautiful faith take a whole lot of work, a lot of work on very small, seemingly insignificant details. Because if you leave one pin out of the scaffolding, then the whole thing comes tumbling down. But if you take care of every minor detail, it's totally worth it. All of that extra care and work is totally worth it. It's worth it because it changes the way you see the entire world. It's worth it because you learn to appreciate every corner in your apartment and every carved flower in this sanctuary and every little minor detail of God's creation. It's worth it every Christmas when this sanctuary is illuminated by 1,000 little candle flames. It's worth it when you can stand in front of the western wall of the temple in Jerusalem and you can feel the loving detail that went into a wall that has withstood centuries of war. It's worth it when you see the pictures. It's worth it when you see the pictures that were posted last Monday of the Jones family with their huge smiles and their perfectly lined flooring and the sign posted on the front of their house that reads, "Welcome home." That is a scaffolding kind of faith. A faith that is at home but is never too settled. A faith that is always self-improving but always outward looking. A faith that is grounded but ever evolving. A faith that treats every person and every place with the same care you would use to rebuild your own house of worship. We are servants of the God of heaven and earth. And we are rebuilding this house. Can I get an amen?